It's Open Mic Friday with Open Tom Baker on Opened KFUO Radio. You want to call me? Any subject at all of theology, don't hesitate to do so. In fact, I encourage some of you to get some people together in your front room and maybe use a speakerphone in case we want to have a little Bible study or a conversation. In fact, that actually happened to me today. I was talking to a group and they put me on speakerphone and we had an excellent conversation. We have other items to talk about on this Friday, September the 17th, but don't hesitate to give me a ring. Once more, the numbers 505-7850, toll free 1-800-730-2727. Are you in sales? Do you have a product you want to sell? I got some points written here in front of me. Always be pointing to the product. Offer an opportunity to receive the product and expect people to respond. End with emotional intensity. In other words, speak through the head to the heart. Because once you've informed their minds, you have to touch their emotions and challenge their wills. In fact, that conclusion should be the emotional high point of your sales presentation. Make sure you make a specific response. Nothing becomes dynamic unless it becomes specific. Use an argument. Anticipate the objections the audience might have and logically refute them. Use a warning. Warn them of the consequences of not having your product. Use indirect conviction, maybe a good story of somebody who had the product and made good use of it. Make sure you use compassion and vision, encouragement, making it personal. Do you really think I'm reading about how to sell a product? It sure sounds like it, doesn't it? You know what this is about? It is a email I received about how to make your sermon conclusions more effective. And what they simply have done is borrow the sales techniques and the sales marketing and apply it to a sermon. You know, there's no doubt you do need sales marketing. One of the most important things about a sale. In fact, good sale presentations really often don't talk about the product at all. But they talk about a benefit of the product. You know what one of the most fantastic sales promotions that ever came to be? Millions of dollars were made off of this sales pitch. You know what it was? Particularly in college towns, fresh hot pizza delivered to your room within 30 minutes. Do you notice it didn't even say what kind of pizza it was? It didn't say if it was good pizza or bad pizza. It was going to be delivered to your room in 30 minutes. So obviously an ongoing supply of pizza was necessary. And that pizza store, that pizza company, made millions of dollars. Yes, we could sell the Christian message. Charles Finney and others encourage us to do that. But I think there's a huge difference in our goal. It is impossible for a person to make a sermon more effective. There's only one thing he needs to be doing to make it as effective as it is going to be, and that is to preach the word properly, to divide law and gospel, and particularly to proclaim the gospel. sermons that even accurately portray Christian doctrine are not truly sermons. They may fill the mind with good ideas, but the fact of the matter is that a sermon is aimed at the heart. But we aim at the heart differently than salespeople do. There's just no doubt that emotionalism will get somebody to buy a product. I'm not doing this in case my insurance salesman is listening to me right now, but I've been with an insurance company for years, and they are fine. But Geico's got that insurance ad on there, and he talks about, do you think this is possible? And one of them is about a pig screaming all the way home while he's being driven to his home. I just love that commercial. It's such a good commercial. I looked at my wife today, I think, said, well, maybe we should change all our insurance over to Geico. Now, I have no idea about Geico. I don't know if it's better than what I have right now, which is State Farm. But you see, what I look for is a good agent, and I got a tremendous agent. So I'm not going to be moving, even if I found out it would cost less to go somewhere, unless it was really less, like maybe half or something. But right now, that's the way you sell. There are techniques to use. Advertisements do it well. Comical advertisements tend to sell more because people love to be entertained, and then they feel obligated to maybe buy your product. But as I was reading through this, there was no mention at all of the role of the Holy Spirit. It was just guideline after guideline as to how you can be effective. Would you like to try that with your kids? Trying to get them to change their behavior? Like end with emotional intensity? Use an argument, use a warning, then use compassion, use vision, use encouragement. If I ever was in a church by the pastor who wrote this, I would feel manipulated. Because, see, he's not really using compassion because that's what the text calls for. He's using compassion because he's trying to sell the message. This is one real problem that we've had, that more and more college students learn psychology, learn about counseling. I'm not sure what I would do if I had a situation and I needed a counselor, and the counselor looked at me and said, now, what do you feel about that? I'm not sure I would sit there anymore. These are gimmicks. These are methods used to manipulate responses and move people in a certain direction. Now, am I saying you shouldn't be prepared to anticipate objections, or you shouldn't be compassionate, or you shouldn't make it personal or restate your major points forcefully? No. But I would not put that under how to make your sermons more effective. That there's only one thing that makes them effective, and that is whether the Holy Spirit is using the Word of God as you have properly preached it. You see, you can use these techniques and be a false teacher and be pretty effective. I talked about this yesterday when I was listening on the radio to somebody who was talking about that, you know, apart from a religion, there really is no reason, is there, why people of the same gender can't be married. And I'm thinking to myself, well, apart from religion, there really is no reason why you have to be ethical at all. I mean, when a lion eats another animal, do friends of the animal that were eaten come around and chastise the lion? Well, if they're hyenas, they might. There are no ethics in the animal kingdom. Not as we would understand it. The ethics in the human realm come from God. and you take God out of the picture, I don't see any reason why any ethics would withstand the test of authenticity. Why? Because who cares the way I would act, except me? If I really believed that there is no God, I would be living a totally different life than I'm living. It's like saying you don't have any parents that you have to come home to. Children can have all the money they want. They can do whatever they want. Well, what do you think a child's going to do? Oh, I got to go home and be punished because I did something wrong. No, they would stay so far away from home. Why then do we even teach pastors about how to preach the sermon? It's not to make them more effective. That's in the area of theology. But what a sermon can do, using proper techniques, is just to keep people awake. Like Jesus used parables. Would he have been as effective if he had never used a parable? And the answer is absolutely yes. Then why use parables? Because these are really ways in which to help explain the message. I do not believe they're a way to make it more effective. The effectiveness of the message is totally the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not up to me. And the idea that making sure that I have compassion or encouragement or have a compelling illustration or use surprise, I just think of my buddy Job. I'm sorry, my buddy Jonah. I'm quite sure he wasn't following any of these techniques when he was preaching in Nineveh after having been thrown up by a large fish. But guess what? He was totally effective, even beyond his wildest imagination. It's kind of like being on the radio. I could talk like this, but that wouldn't be natural. In fact, you notice that there are just some people who aren't on the radio, just like there's some of us who wouldn't be on television. You just have to have, for television, a certain demeanor, maybe a certain look, that you don't need on the radio. On the radio, voice is 10 times more important. But not to be more effective, but just so people don't turn the station. The effectiveness of the arguments that you listen to on KFUO radio really comes from whether or not we are in agreement with Holy Scripture. Now, you can turn to some radio stations that have false teachers, and they also can be quite persuasive because they use these techniques, and a lot of times emotionalism trumps content. Just go to some of these worship services where the question at the end of it isn't, now do you love Jesus more, or, but it's rather, do you feel you had a good experience? Oh, my. Even to ask that question shows a lack of understanding of what Christianity is all about. Oh, yes, it's a lot of fun to be a theologian of self-glory and base your understanding of God on your experience. But so many of these programs, just listen to evangelical radio, go to one of these churches that are doing this, you won't hear the word Jesus for a long time. In fact, even when you hear the word Jesus, it's never tied to the cross. Why? Because it gets in the way of telling you your purpose. Which, of course, the bottom line, I was just reading an article, Ministry in the Year 2018, the biggest problem people are going to be coming up against is money. You're going to be hearing a lot about money in churches that really don't have the right message. Let's go to the phone lines. I'm Tom Baker. With whom am I speaking? Hello?
Hello, this is Al, Tom.
Okay, turn down your radio, please.
You just did.
Okay, thank you for talking, and we'll go to our next caller. Yes, Al.
I just want to let you know, I just tuned in, and that idea of hot pizza coming directly to your home, I wonder if some of our experiential church leaders have thought about that to have done in the church.
You'll have to expand on that a bit. How do you mean?
Well, what I mean is there, most of the churches, and this is coming back off your conversation on Tuesday evening and such is the reason I'm calling in. I didn't call in Tuesday evening because you were on a good roll with explaining things and I didn't want to interfere with you.
Then why are you interfering today? Is it that I'm not doing as good today?
No, it's just that I feel like interfering.
Okay, good.
Okay. I've been known to do that at times.
Oh, yes.
But, yeah, I mean, that whole idea of delivering pizza. I've been visiting actually some of our churches and such that go this route of the experience, and I haven't seen that tried yet. And if it's
maybe you haven't gone to the cafeteria.
Well, or maybe I haven't gone to the right one yet.
Yes.
But, you know, this might be an idea for them. But I mainly what I wanted to call in, Tom, and following up on listening to you on Tuesday night, and while I have some personal involvement with this very subject that you talked about Tuesday evening, and even now about these experiential services, we talk about them coming to churches. We talk about how they get started. But you know something, sometimes a lot of people don't talk about or think about is what fallout's left after the fact. And
I'll tell you, one of the fallouts is masses of youth leaving church.
Yeah. And while my connection is not with youth, it's with other family members, the same effect is coming on to them. And the problem, though, that still lingers because they've been around the experience and they've fed their own sinful flesh, which they now know, is they're having trouble transferring to another church. And they're not sure if they can go back to the worship styles that God initially created for us, because they're not sure they're going to get quite the thrill about that.
Well, I guarantee people today, if we just move into the medical area, you'll get a lot more experience and excitement if you go to a voodoo doctor rather than a real physician.
Right.
And I'm not so sure that people who would experience a voodoo doctor really, would they want to go back to a real physician? I don't know. But that's what's happening in the church. I almost consider it a matter of child abuse to take your child to a church where you're not being fed properly the Word of God.
I know, and I remember you talking about that. And in my case, I'm aware of adult abuse. And now,
see my emails. People from all over the country, particularly not of Lutheran persuasion, a lot of times, who cannot find churches that talk and speak like we do here on KFUO Radio, and they're very upset over that and wondering why are so many pastors been caught up in this experiential theology. Well, I think partly it's because they're being trained more so on these marketing techniques rather than on spiritual techniques.
That's very much obvious, you know, and it's all, and with these type settings too, it's all about the numbers. It's about the quantity, not about the quality.
Well, the money doesn't start coming in, and so they think numbers equals money.
Right.
Boy, have they missed it.
They have, and they're going to find out, I think, very shortly in a lot of our churches, because I see a ground movement. I see a shift that possibly is starting in some of the churches that have been connected with this experiential things, and now they're starting to, like you say, they're coming to their senses. They're starting to leave, and they're in search of where they were before as far as instruction and comfort, and they're just starting to want to get away from this whole experiential thing. And I just can pray for them and wish them well, because I know it's going to be a struggle, because they've had their flesh fed for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and now they got to relearn all over again how to abandon that and just look to God.
Yeah, I'm holding it in my hands. I got this from one of our listeners. 8 pages with George Barna, you know, talking about what's going to be happening here. And he's indicating, this article does, that because of the economic situation in the country, more and more of these larger churches are not going to be able to be making it. And they're going to have to really start going a lot more into talking about stewardship and having all kinds of programs, because all of a sudden they're going to be making people feel guilty that if you don't give, we're going to lose this ministry. Now, can you imagine that happening in a real Christian church?
I know, and there is where you're going to see a good mixture, or not a good mixture, but a mixture. They're going to take gospel.
Yes.
They're going to turn it into law, and they're going to turn it on their people. And there again, the people of the congregations are the ones that are going to suffer.
I sure thank you for your call.
You bet.
Okay, bye. And anybody else can call here at 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Yes, it's RevOrg, that's rev.org, and it's about ministry in 2018 or 2018. The author is Alan Nelson, and this is where I'm getting some of these ideas here. Now, why are they really interested in knowing what's going to happen? They pick up on hockey legend Wayne Gretzky. He said the secret of his success was that while other players skated to where the puck was, he skated to where the puck was going to be. And you see how they then take that and say, okay, if we can figure out where the church is going to be, we can get ahead of the curve. But George Barna was at this discussion. Now remember, they're talking 10 years ahead, and he wasn't saying anything. And finally, somebody asked him, George, where do you think we'll be in 10 years? And he said, I don't know. And I thought, I'm reading here, what kind of futurist is he? And he explained, the way things are changing these days, the best we can estimate is about 5 years out. Now, there's a lot in here. I'll get back to some of this when we get back from the break. That there just seems to be an idea that the mainline traditional Christian denominational church is going to be falling apart. People aren't going to be going to it anymore. They're going to be wanting to do things like on Twitter or Facebook, that they're going to replace Amazon.com is going to replace books that people are reading, all this sort of thing. Well, I'll have some words to say about that too when we get back from the break. And your phone calls are certainly appreciated. Just like Al phoning, give me a ring here at 505-7850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. This is Open Mic Friday, and we're talking about if we use marketing techniques to sell Christianity, then Jesus becomes a product, not your Savior.
Sing for Joy is a program that collects gems from the Church's treasury of great music, then offers them to you in the setting of the Bible passages that inspired them. Each week on this station, you can listen and enjoy. I hope you will.
Sundays at noon on KFUO Radio.
Cycling season is here. You're going to ride, so why not pedal the cause to benefit Barnes Jewish Hospital, Children's Hospital St. Louis, the Siteman Cancer Center, and the Cancer Frontier Fund. It begins Saturday, October 9th at 8 a.m. at Soldiers Memorial St. Louis. You can choose a 25 or 57-mile ride, put together a team, or ride solo. Full support along the way. Visit pedalthecause.org for more information. And pedal the cause, Saturday, October 9th.
Have you ever heard monkeys talk? The answer next on today's Creation Moment. And now, here's our Creation Moment host, Ian Taylor.
Several years ago, Coco the gorilla amazed scientists and the public by apparently learning enough of the rudiments of English to communicate simple thoughts. Now studies on wild vervet monkeys suggest that Coco's achievement might be nothing more than a normal, God-given ability. Anthropologists from UCLA report that wild vervet monkey communication shows much more language development than scientists ever expected. It took years of study in the wild before anthropologists began to hear subtle differences in the grunts and screeches offered by the monkeys. They confirmed these differences by recording the different sounds and actions that went with them. Then they analyzed the sounds electronically and found that there was indeed a pattern of differences in the sounds that correspond to specific actions. Anthropologists then set their sound equipment up in the monkeys' home territory to test their interpretation of the sounds. When the grunt that researchers thought meant open plain was played, monkey listeners looked out towards the open plain. Likewise, when the other group grunt was played, the monkeys searched the open plain even more carefully. The scientists had discovered that they had successfully understood two other monkey phrases as well. These vervet monkeys teach us that language is not the evolutionary development of early humans, but a gift from God, the author of language.
Creation Moments exists to glorify God by presenting scientific evidence for the literal truth of the Bible. For more information, visit our website at creationmoments.com or call us toll-free at 1-800-42-BIBLE. And join us again for another Creation Moment, proclaiming evidence of God's truth.
Hi, I'm Phyllis Wallace. There's a relationship that's tearing you up. You're not sure why, but you don't feel good when that person shuts you down with a glance, a snide remark, or the silent treatment. It robs you of the person you're supposed to be. You can change all that with Leslie Vernick, who wrote The Emotionally Destructive Relationship. She shares how to see it, stop it, and survive it. Next time, Woman to Woman.
Saturday mornings at 9:30 on KFUO Radio.
KFUO Radio offers a selection of live worship services each week, providing listeners the opportunity to utilize the service that fits their schedule. One option is offered by Peace Lutheran Church in South St. Louis County. Pastor Dennis Castens of the congregation invites you to listen and enjoy scripture, sermon, and song every Saturday evening at 5 p.m. Listen this Saturday, and if you're well served by what you hear, tell a friend. That's live worship every Saturday evening at 5 on listener-supported KFUO Radio.
Tom Baker back here on KFUO Radio as we're talking and dealing with an article written by a number of, well, I don't want to call them church scholars, but people who are involved in the church who really aren't looking at things from a theological point of view, but a marketing point of view, telling us what's going to be happening in the year 2018, as though we can figure out what's going to be happening in the year 2011. If you'd like to give me a ring, the numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Let's go to the phone lines right now, and we're going to be speaking to Arthur. Hi, Arthur.
Good evening.
Good evening. How can I help you?
Well, if I understood you right in this article, they're suggesting that in 2018 there's going to be a financial crisis across the country, and maybe the churches should prepare for it now.
Well, let me read what it says. We now face a real possibility of economic collapse within 15 to 20 years due to an increasingly unstable climate. When one adds to this the diminishing oil supply and the fact that most people that attend churches have to travel long distances, there's a real problem in people getting to the church.
Go to a church close to home like we did.
Yes, or like I did for 28 years. It was on the grounds. I lived in the parsonage, but it'd be hard to put the whole congregation in there. Well, what's your other point?
Well, my point is if we're going to have this crisis in the next 10, 15 years, and I thought I heard a suggestion, you better prepare for it now by adding members so you'll be strong enough to weather the storm. In my opinion, you might try just the opposite way.
Explain.
Try losing numbers, because on most churches you got quite a bit of dead wood that just consume your time and energy, and time to purge yourself of it. And there's a Bible verse about pruning the grapes so you get a better crop.
Okay.
What do you think of that?
Well, when I was at St. James, there's no doubt we had people who hadn't been showing up for a long time. We didn't have much to prune them, because when we went and talked with some of them, they had even left the city, and we were just unaware of the fact that they had moved away, and therefore to prune them was pretty easy to do in light of the fact that they weren't even in the same location anymore.
But you're probably sending the mail in the meantime.
Yes, we did have a monthly newsletter. Yeah. And I'm not sure why some of them we weren't getting back or so, but you make a good point, and I appreciate you calling.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yes, there's no doubt that one of the saddest things is to see congregations with, say, 800 on their rolls, and you go there, and there's 75 people in church. I actually had a good friend went up to Chicago, and he was kind of leading a church there for a while, in what we call a vicarage or an internship, and they had over 1,100 members on the rolls with an average attendance of about 130. Now, the normal average attendance is about 30 to 40% of your baptized membership. And I know a lot of you are saying, oh, that's terrible, but in our situation at St. James, we had a number of nurses who were working on Sunday, policemen, and others, and people were on vacation or going to see their kids at college. There were a lot of excuses. One of the things I tried to do was to have everybody who was a member commune at least once a year. And I was only able to do that for a handful of years. Now, sometimes it was because members were in the armed forces overseas and you couldn't get to them or something. And they may be communing with the chaplains. We just didn't find out about it. But be that as it may, there's no doubt that the numbers that people say are in churches and the numbers of people really attending sometimes are kind of far and few between. And so I appreciate Arthur. That is one of the main things that elders are supposed to do. They're supposed to meet, and the delinquents, in my opinion, are a high priority. Because many of them, if they're members of the congregation, already went through adult instruction or confirmation. And so you really have a foundation with which to go back and speak to them about. Well, what I found kind of interesting is some of the things they're going to be saying about 2018. Evangelism strategies based on canned, apologetic, and intellectual processes will go the way of the 8-track and VHS, unless first accompanied by authentic demonstrations of love, service, and humility. I tell you, I cannot disagree with that more. What? You don't think it's important to love people you're talking to or be humble? No, I'm saying it has nothing to do. You see, we believe, teach, and confess something about God's Word that says He knows who the elect are. They are going to be saved, regardless if you have authentic demonstrations of love, service, and humility. This is a very comforting doctrine, that your lack of love, service, and humility will not send one person to hell who would have been going to heaven. You see, all of this is built on a theology that all we have to do is make worship, church attendance, church membership more attractive for people so that they will make the right decisions. Becoming a Christian is not up to them. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. As Jesus says, "You have not chosen me, I have chosen you." It is really comforting for me to know that with all the failures of my 28 years in parish ministry, I didn't send one person to hell. who would have been going to heaven. Or else God's a liar. Because the elect will never be lost. Now somebody's going to say, well, if the elect are already saved, then why are we making such a big effort in getting out into the whole world? Well, I'll tell you why we in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod do that, is because we believe that Lutheran theology is closest, in fact, it is an accurate representation of what the Scriptures teach. So we want people to come to a proper understanding of God, because when you don't have a proper understanding of God, you lose comfort. Let's go back to the phone line. I'm Tom Baker, and with whom am I speaking?
This is Brian.
Yeah, Brian, go ahead.
Yeah, I think this is a very interesting subject, and it always seems to come out to the same thing when we're talking about getting more members, you know, membership, and it's always this kind of corporate approach to faith.
A what approach?
A corporate.
Oh, yes. Oh, my, yes.
That's what I see what the problem is. See, now, I was reading once a really good speaker who was a Christian said once, he said, the person in the future is going to communicate to people to understand why to be Christian. He's going to have to use an inside-out approach. And the point that they made is that you begin with something, just a doubt someone has or a personal struggle someone has, and you go from there. It seems like all these other approaches come from, we know all this stuff, you need to get on board with it and come to us, you know, we'll whittle it down to the point where you understand how it applies to you.
Yes.
And I think in the same way, like with sometimes people do this with the news of the day. They take things which don't necessarily apply to a lot of people, and they start talking about them, and they kind of going in the wrong direction, I think, in terms of trying to apply it to people. You should begin with where people are and then come out to the bigger picture. Now, I think your show does that really well, because you address very personal questions to people, and then you answer them. That's what they're looking for.
I really agree with that. Jack Preuss wrote a book on the, and he had over 20 metaphors for the gospel. For example, if somebody is lonely, that is a different message that you're going to give to them than if somebody is getting ready to have cancer therapy or
right, exactly.
Going to have a baby. So unless you know, there's no one size fits all.
Right.
And that's why it's so hard to do a sermon when you have 300-400 people sitting out there. That's why Jesus' parables probably do the best anybody does in touching every person that's listening.
Right, and because it's the Holy Spirit, it's God, of course.
That's right.
But I mean, if you're going to look at it, try to look at it rhetorically if you want to do that. It begins with doubts. Personal doubts people have, and whether you're talking about in St. Augustine's day or Christ's day or our day, people still have those same doubts. You can just paste whatever different circumstance you want into the picture, but the existential problems are still there, and people are looking for answers to those questions.
Yes. You know what I almost got to today, Brian?
What's that?
Atheism and John Lennox.
Oh, really?
Yes. In fact, I'm holding it in my hand. I just wasn't sure I was going to get enough time. It's something that you had sent me, and I find it very interesting, and I've got a lot to say about it, but probably have to wait for another time.
Sure. Whenever you're, you know, it'd be interesting to hear what your thoughts are on that, though. He's an interesting guy. He's a
mathematician,
mathematical physicist. He's kind of, he understands the theology, but he also understands all the science too, so you can't be fooled by people trying to talk over people's heads.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, well, thank you.
Well, thank you so much for calling. I'm Tom Baker. Our numbers here are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. I said that too fast? Oh, okay. 505-7850. In North America, 1-800-730-2727. I really do appreciate folks sending me emails about all kinds of subjects. the one on atheism that I just got recently from Brian, got me thinking about a point, is that some of these individuals, I think I was talking about a gentleman named Hawking, and he was just speaking about that we don't really need God to explain things today. You know, the laws of gravity, the laws of science can explain everything. And I was just thinking about that, and of course that's true, because the laws of nature are the way that God normally operates. But that doesn't mean that there is not a God. Let's go back to the phone line, and with whom are we speaking?
This is Marilyn.
Hi, Marilyn. Go ahead.
I just want to thank you, Pastor Baker, for what you said tonight, because I have worried quite a few times that it would be my fault if people don't go to hell because I didn't talk to them. And I try to talk to people, but anyway, I feel better knowing that God knows who the elect are, like you said.
You know, that's really interesting, Marilyn. I never really thought about that till you phoned, but do you think that there are some Christians who are hesitant to speak about the faith lest they make a mistake and therefore they're responsible for somebody going to hell?
Well, I never thought about anybody not doing it for that reason. No,
well, I bet you there may be. And what a comfort it is to know that it is impossible for you to send somebody to hell.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, there's people in the store that are yelling at their kids, are dressed awful.
Yes.
And I would like to give them a book or something. And you don't feel right doing that in the store.
I know.
And, but anyway, I go home and pray for them is what I do.
Yeah, I try and hand them my pen that's got our website on it, so maybe they'll go and take a look at it. But
yeah,
we just
I don't know exactly how to solve that problem, but sometimes somebody, I wish I could walk over to them and say, you know, Jesus loves you and your little child, but... I don't know.
Yeah, you just don't know what to do these days, because some people get really vicious.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
Yeah, you know, who are you to tell me what to do and kind of thing. And so I think when a child is being beaten particularly or yelled at, this was happening to us in a restaurant we were at, and I finally, and the child just kept yelling and the mother kept yelling. And I went to the manager and asked him to ask them to leave. And that's what he went and did.
Yeah.
And they did leave, and they went out the door still yelling at each other.
Yeah. Well, we sat there listening to a lady, me and this man I didn't know. Neither one of us said a word.
Yes.
And I had just bought a book at the Christian store, Precious Promises, Prayers for Your Children.
Really?
And it was in the trunk of the car, so I wasn't even thinking about that. But I got home, and I thought, yeah, if I could give her that book, but then I wouldn't have it. And it's a wonderful book.
Well, you can always buy a second one. And I'll tell you, one thing you might want to do is, Concordia Publishing House, for example, has a wonderful tract where you can get tracts for just pennies and carry 5 or 10 of them around. And when you have opportunities... Like, I leave pens with waitresses and all kinds of people. I walk out and I look like a nerd because I've got 6 pens out of my pocket. And, you know, people will stop me and say, what are you doing with all those pens? I said, well, if anybody asks me what I'm doing with them, I give them one. In fact,
well,
I was...
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for calling. Yeah, in fact, I was at a restaurant not long ago where... it was one of the waiters came up to me again and says, what are you doing with all those pens? I said, why do you ask? And he said, well, last time I asked, you gave me one, and I thought you would again. So I did. All righty. I'm Tom Baker. Numbers here are 505-7850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. What just happened with Marilyn is a perfect example of why a radio station KFUO needs to keep the word straight, because when you get the word straight, people are comforted. Do you know, maybe you're a parent, Maybe you've had a child that you feel the way you brought that child up, the child may not be going to church anymore, and you blame yourself. And if that child doesn't go to heaven, you're going to feel really bad and think that's what you did. Well, let me assure you that that's not something you need to worry about. Now, there may have been sinful ways you acted towards that child in bringing them up. What parent doesn't? Losing tempers, all kinds of things. And repentance is necessary. But the idea that God is going to take one of his elect, and because of the way you treated them, or that they rejected God in a certain way, that all of a sudden that means you're responsible for them going to hell, no. Our numbers here are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Hello, with whom am I speaking?
Hello.
Yes, who's this?
This is Lucille.
Yes, Lucille, go ahead. You're on the air.
Your talking tonight makes me think of an experience I had. And I was at Mayo Clinic several times being treated for cancer.
Uh-huh.
And my doctor would come in the evening, and we'd talk about my medical situation, and he saw my Bible on my bedside table, and then that led into a conversation and to talking about the spiritual situation. And so every night that he'd come in after that, he would always say, "Read your holy scripture."
Excellent.
Well, I thought that was good advice for me, which I already was.
Yes.
So I pass it on to others. Now, if you want to hear a story also that I had in regard to the situation that we have with the, I left a word out, situation that we have with the money.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, about 40 years ago, see, I'm no spring chicken.
Yeah, you sound like about 52 years old.
What?
You sound like you're about 52, so 40 years ago when you were 2 years old?
No, I don't think so. I'm a little bit older than that.
Oh, okay.
Before I quit.
All right.
The speaker I heard one time, he was from now that word's left me. Anyway, he said that the situation we're going to experience in years to come, he says, is going to be more than the ordinary young people now can handle. And he said that it was even the clergy, some of the clergy won't be able to handle it. And he said your CDs and all your assets like that will just go diminish little by little by little over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, now, wait a minute, where did he get all that information? Because it's doing that same thing that he spoke about.
Yes.
So I thought, well, now here's the situation. I'm going to keep on speaking to people this same story and add, read your scripture.
Excellent.
Read your scripture.
Lucille, the read your scripture lady.
Do I read it what?
You're the read your scripture lady.
Late.
Lady.
Oh.
That's what I'll call you.
Well, I'm 97 years young.
97.
And still drive.
Well, let me know when you're on the road, okay?
And I really have been blessed.
Oh, it sounds like you have.
Beyond expectation. And I talk to friends that say, I don't know why the Lord lets me live. And he says, well, he's got work for you yet.
Yep, that's right. And one of them was phoning KFUO Radio tonight.
Well, I hope so. I hope I helped somebody, but
you have.
Only the Lord knows.
That's right, Lucille. Thank you so much for calling. God bless. And that was Lucille. She's 97 years old. Wow. I've got a little ways to go. Yeah, in fact, it is my birthday today. So I've got about six more years, 97. Well, I'm not very good at subtraction. Okay. I'd like to make one more point about these folks who put together what's happening in 2018, because how they look at things shows their theology from a law gospel perspective. For example, while economics of the church, let's see, was that the one? No, here it is. As more churches approach closure, there will be systems and protocol developed for transferring property, facilities, and assets to other churches that are vibrant and healthy, as well as to charitable organizations. Hopefully this will happen, because thousands of churches will be dying on the vine in the next decade. And if they fritter away their assets trying to stay alive, it will be a huge stewardship fiasco. Now, that really bothers me, because they're not going to be frittering away their assets trying to stay alive. Perhaps they're being a voice in the neighborhood, shrinking as they might be. I've been around a number of churches that have failed and had to close shop, but up to that last day, they were still doing ministry. And who knows who might have been there or listening. You know, we have to stop thinking in stewardship terms all the time and start realizing that God's word never returns empty. And yes, there will be a lot of congregations struggling, and maybe a number of them will close down or join with other congregations. That's the way God works. But to say that it's going to be a stewardship fiasco, that they keep on doing ministry as long as they're able to, that puts the law, watching your stewardship money, is more important than the ministry of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. Thank you so much for listening to this week's Law and Gospel. We will be back on Monday, God willing. And guess what? On Monday, we're going to be talking about stewardship. Well, not quite. But maybe. We're talking about Lazarus. No, not the one raised from the dead, but the one who went to heaven looking down at the rich man's ivies. It appears the Bible is often against wealth and riches. Does that mean you're in trouble? Or are we misreading the text? See you Monday. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel with Tom Baker Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or at this email address, lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.